This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. ما شاء الله. Like brother Buna Muhammad says, I think I just walked into a janazah. One correction, I mean Sheikh Majid حفظه الله, I learned from him and I wrote a lot of things down. And one thing I said I'm going to implement, mashallah, he knows. But you know the phone calls. You know, I don't answer every phone call, but as soon as I look at the screen, and there's only one thing I cannot not answer. Which one do you think it is? Everybody knows it, man. What should I mean? You know, it's there. So you understand there's even a phone, okay, there's a tone specifically that. Warning, warning, the wife is calling. Have you heard that before? That's the only thing. Even when you sit down, what do? As soon as your wife is calling, you stand up. Allah musta'an, inshallah. So today we're talking about principles, purpose, and foundation, and guidelines for marriage, which is amazing. So you understand that Sheikh Abdullah and this poor slave of Allah is one of our missions in life is to make sure that everyone is single here, gets off the singlehood, and gets into the hood. You're in the hood now, man. All right, by show of hands, if you're single, please raise your hand. Ah, come on, you guys are scared? What? There's no tricks here. All right, so I did this once in Australia. I told the brother, you know, raise your hand if you're single. And the brother just told me that he's married. So, Akhi, didn't you just tell me that you're married? He goes, yes, Sheikh, but I'm 75% single. Allah musta'an. All right, so tonight, or today, we're going to talk about these foundations, pillars, purposes, and so on. So you're coming close to getting married now. You're almost graduating, or your father or mother nagging you, you know, you gotta get off your whatever and get married. I wanna see a grandchild. 9 months exactly from the day you say I do or I does or whatever it is. So you're pressured, you get to do this. And all of a sudden, you make your decision based on what? So let's go through that quick journey, and I'm not going to elaborate too much on the first one because a lot to share and very little time because Sheikh Abdullah Deis, Hafidhullah, is going to talk about the issues that we have in our situations. So Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula mentioned two things in the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned two things in the sunnah that you look for, and we call this the 4x4. The first one is obviously, and the most important part, by the way, you understand that most of the people think that the most difficult decision you make is actually getting married. It's actually number two. Number one is actually having children. So let's go through one and two and talk about the family, and you'll find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in a bigger picture and what it's all about. And I'll give you one key word that I alluded to this morning in the khatira, but today inshallah you'll have the keys. Hopefully, to be successful in this life and the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula in the Quran mentioned two things. Ukhti, this is for you. And when I talk to the sisters, I'm talking indirectly to the brothers. So he says, look for someone, ukhti. What is the number one and two? And we talked about this before, if you're among the students here. Al-qawiy al-ameen, ya abad yistajir, inna khayra man yistajarta al-qawiy al-ameen. And this is one of my favorite verses because that's what my wife told my father-in-law when she saw me. She says, "Ya abad istajir." Oh, my father, hire him. So I was hired, and that's what it is. We are hired, man. We are hired. Yes. We don't talk about politics here. So al-qawi, strong. According to Tabari, rahmatullahi alayhi, says qawi in iman. But the latter scholar says qawi in everything. Everything, intellectual, academic, physical, mental, social, financial, everything. Qawi, I mean, trustworthy because you're trusting your life with him. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ mentioned khuluq and deen. And another narration, deen and khuluq. Taqdeem and ta'khir, religious background and moral conduct. And that's what we talk about. And the brothers. And again, I mentioned this before to you, the four things in the hadith according to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, when you talk to the brothers in university, they mention one thing only in one thing, and that's the only thing they remember from the hadith. What do you remember, man? Lijamaliha, of course. Anything else? Uh-huh. Lijamaliha? Did I mention that? I got you. I hear you, man. Lijamaliha, I got you covered. I'm down. Anything else? Tashash, you know, something, it's vague. So yes, we have the four. Yes, لجمالها وحسبها ومالها ودينها فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك أي التصقت يدك بالتراب. Yes, beauty is there. And we talked about it details. I don't have time to go into it today. And lineage, wealth, and religious background. So these are the four reasons, the criteria that you want to marry a woman for. But the most important one of all, as we mentioned, is the religious background. And I'm going to give you a visual, Dr. Rila Badir, Hafidhahullah. Remember that. He says, we said deen is number one, right? So we're going to put it up. Deen is number one. And then she's beautiful, add another zero, she's a 10. Now, she comes from a good family, add another zero, it's 100%. Now, she's also, mashallah, rich, add another zero, she's batting 1,000. Take away the deen, what do you got? 3 zeros. Enjoy. So these are the minimum foundation that you have. But when we get, and when the Shaykh is talking about the issues, you'll find out when people come to our offices, you know, based on what ukhti did you say I do? Based on what akhi did you say I do? And that's the reason we pay the price. You know, I married him because he came on a white horse with the long hair in the wind, and he's coming with the ding, ping, you know, the twirly tooth thingy. Why did you marry? You see this? How can I say no to that? And or the brother, why did you marry my man? My heart is aching. My knees are shaking. It's true. I ain't faking. She doesn't eat bacon. Dude, I gotcha. She doesn't eat bacon. I gotcha. I love you, man. Right here. Wallahi. But if you make these assumptions, you're going to pay the price. And that's why we proactive, not reactive. This is just a synopsis real quick on the foundations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you something else. He put two down. You hear this verse all the time. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا لَا مِنْ عِلَّةٍ. And we'll talk about the reason and the purpose. Second, you know sukoon in linguistically is after the dot. There's no movement. Second, tranquility, peace, harmony. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. He put the two foundations, two down payments. مَوَدَّةٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Remember, it's not mahabba. Mahabba is love. Mawadda is much higher than that. Because it's much bigger purpose, much bigger goal. To protect yourself, protect another sister. Have righteous lineage that will make dua for you after. The money you spend is a sadaqah. Even the intimate relations you get rewarded for. And there's so much, a long, long list of things, the reward you get married. So he says mawadda, not mahabba. Much higher goal than that. And rahma, mercy. We don't have that checklist. Oh, I did this, you did that. No, it's not that. It is we're on the same team. Now have mercy upon one another. It is true, some of the scholars says mawadda comes from the sisters and rahma comes from the brothers. So you have mercy on one another and love for one another. So it's a team effort. I'm going to go a little higher now, a little bit on the bigger picture. If you think that this whole family issue is just revolving around the household, sadly mistaken. If you go back in the Quran, you'll find out Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula is talking about this whole creation, this humanity, the purpose for it is that relationship between the family. And if you think again, you'll find out that the verses support that theory. Go into the word ummah. The word ummah, who we are, the nation. Where is the word ummah come from? It is derived from what? What word? The whole ummah is actually derived from an That's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, what did he say? He says, women are half of the ummah and they give birth to the other half of the ummah, so they are the whole ummah. Amazing, isn't it? And you think back and find out, Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula says the whole creation, the purpose of this whole thing is about this whole family. As such, the ummah is made of nations, and the nations are made of countries, and the countries are made of what? Cities. Cities are made of communities. The communities are made of the family. And that's the bedrock of the ummah. Listen again. Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, these are the verses that we mentioned in the Fajr prayer today. Ya ayyuhan nas, he's talking to whole humanity now. Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu rabbakum. And I'm going to give you some verses, and I want you to listen carefully for a key word. Because that's your key to the happiness in this life and the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala linked that specific key to the family. Just in case you're wondering. Ya ayyuhan nas, the whole humanity, O mankind. اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. And by the way, he says, اتقوا ربكم not إلهكم. He says, be God-fearing, be God-conscious. رب, the Lord, not إله, not the Godhood, the Lordship. ربكم, the one that provides, gives sustenance, takes, grants, and all of that. ربكم الذي خلقكم. He gives you not criteria, and the reason why. الذي خلقكم. He's the one that created you. And then in the answer to that verse, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Isn't he the one that created? If that's the case, he has also the command. And you'll find out that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned that. He's talking about his lineage, he's fearing it. When he says, إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I'm making you as an imam, a leader for everyone else. But he was fearing for something else. قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Ya Allah, not just me, how about my lineage? He's caring about it. And after he asked for the lineage, because it's a family issue, it's a family business. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, make our spouses, our children, the apple of our eyes, the beauty, the allurement in this life. And make us for the muttaqeen, those who are pious, conscious, God-fearing of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fiullah, lead us for that. And after this, he says, oh Allah, not just me, but my dhurriya, my lineage. And on top of that, he asked for something. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا. Show us, Ya Allah, show us our rituals, how to follow, to guide us. Not just haphazard. And by the way, raise your hand, please, if you had a child that came with a book. Instructions, how to deal with the baby. Please, no, you're right, none. They don't come with instructions, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and showed us how. So again, listen carefully. تَقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Alluding to whom? Adam alayhi salam. One soul. Okay, a lineage, men, women. And again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And again, be God-fearing, be conscious. The one that you'll be held accountable on Judgment Day. Wal arham, the lineage, the next of kin, the womb. Who is he alluding to here? Eve. Do you understand now this whole creation came from Adam and Eve? And the whole purpose of this was a family, how to deal with one another, how to come back. And you'll find out the key word is repeated again. I'm going to say some more verses, and please listen carefully. That key word is there. Ya ayyuhan nas, again, O mankind, inna khalaqnakum, we have created you. From? Dhakarin wa untha. Again, male and female, who are they? Yes, Adam and Eve. And then, but he says, the most noble in the sight of Allah, whom? Tallest, richest, strongest, most beautiful, whitest, the one that uses fair and lovely. No? Thanks for playing, thanks for coming out. He said, أتقاكم. Listen carefully again. Most of us make our decisions based on our kids. We travel, we get a job, we don't get a job. The whole life, after you hear that lovely sound, that bundle of joy comes, guess what? Your whole life changes as you know it. Because before that, you were just called a husband or a wife. But after that, you're called a mother or a father. Major difference. Then, he said that lineage, if you fear for it, he give you two down payments. وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضَعَفٌ خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. What are the two down payments? If you fear for your lineage, your progeny, your offsprings, what does he say? A Swiss bank account, an insurance policy. No? You're right again. His فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. If you notice, that word is attached to every relationship. Family, the foundation, the purpose of that. He says, if you fear for your lineage, he actually tells you the word fa, فَلْيَتَّقُوا. Again, and go into letters, فَأَتَّقِيب, right away. No procrastination, in rush, haste. Lam, if the lam goes into a فعل مضارع, تفيد الطلب والأمر. The lam goes into a present tense, it means a command and a request. فَلْيَتَّقُوا, ongoing. So have taqwa, piety, consciousness, God-fearing. Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. وَلْيَقُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Whether it's righteous utterance and joining good, forbidding evil, that's the difference among the scholars. But that's the basis and the foundations of it. Guess what? You drop the ball the first one. There's another chance. Surprisingly enough, that word is repeated again. You know, if you drop the ball and you get divorced, something happened. You didn't pick right the first time. You made a mistake. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually told you something else. Believe it or not, listen to this verse and tell me where it was actually, what surah comes in. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Wallahi, if you read the Quran with the lenses of a family lens or a mother lens or a father's lens, you will read the Quran with a totally different perspective. Those who have God-fearing consciousness or piety, love and fear of God, all of that under one word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a way out from every difficulties and make into ease and give you sustenance from provisions from a source that you never thought of. What surah was this verse revealed in? Talaq. So what's the key word? I'm sorry, is this 7 minutes for me or 7 minutes for the whole session? For the whole session. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry. Okay, what's the word? Key word? Taqwa is right. Okay, there's so much to share with you, but I respect it. I'll leave it here. And the Sheikh Abdullah, inshallah, will take us home. This is my time. Sorry, I thought this was a whole session. I was going, wow. Time flies when you're having fun. My Lord. Okay, Sheikh. Allah yazik al-khair. Taqwa is the key. You know why? If you go back in the Quran again, you'll find out that on Judgment Day, and by the way, if you notice that that word is repeated in the Quran 200 times, 200 times. And if you notice that word taqwa is actually equal to Judgment Day. Alhaqna bihim. Those who believe and do righteous deeds, you'll find out that they will actually continue and to have that lineage in Jannah. Now you'll understand, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Ya Allah, amazing, isn't it? وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Indeed, some of the scholars say it's foreplay. It's there. It's still in the family business. But in retrospect, you're talking about the lineage that will come or precede you or come with you to Jannah. وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. The Shaykh was talking about your legacy. What have you left behind? What will you be remembered by? The best investment in life is your children. Because if you live for yourself, your actions and deeds will cut off and die with you. But if you live for others and help others and have that righteous lineage, your actions and deeds will not be cut off. According to the hadith, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنِ آدَمٍ قَتَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. If your actions and deeds will be cut off after you die, except if three. Could you help me out? What are the three? Help me out. Sadaqatun jariyah, ongoing charity. Number two. عِلْمٌ يَنْتَلُعُ in the beneficial knowledge. Three. وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ وَكُلُّ مَوْلُودٌ وَلَدْ. Every child, not just a son, as mistakenly taken. Every child is a born. Okay. وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. If you do righteousness, it will come to you. Now we get the bigger picture. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something. فَمُسْتَقَرٌ وَمُسْتَوْدَعٌ. Forgive me, this actually topic takes two full days. This poor slave of Allah teaches this course. It takes two full days. I'm just giving you headers. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about that, He says, فَمُسْتَقَرٌ وَمُسْتَوْدَعٌ. You know what مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمُسْتَوْدَعٌ is? In this life or in the grave. In this life, in the hereafter. Or even the back of our forefathers. Inna? So He's telling you, it's a hibah, it's a gift. You're given temporarily. Enjoy it. Don't lose it. You can either have to leave them or they will leave you. Either or, you have to understand that gift that comes with a package. You know, I'm going to take up on something that Sheikh Imam Majid Hafidhahullah said. You know, when we talked about the family and how important it is and how much people don't have the time, because actually one of the reasons is I don't have time. You know, the time management, the 4 Ds, do, delegate, delay, delete. It goes in with the big rock theory. Remember that? Because when we have issues, because we don't have time, it's fast lane, fast food, fast everything. But if you actually spend the time, and I'll tell you the reason why, because, you know, either a dollar sign dad or a career mom. That's what we usually have. A dollar sign dad. Do you see you as a dollar sign? Remember? You're there for them when they need you. They're not. You're not there. You don't even know. Again, by show of hands, raise your hand if you know your child's favorite color. Fantastic. Not one single hand. All right. So we should get to know our children. How much time do you spend with them? Okay. Do you know the average is what? How many? What's the average? How many minutes do you, how much time do you spend with them on the average on the research, Akhi? Anybody knows? 20 minutes. Do you believe it? So, Akhi, if they see you as a dollar sign, when they grow and don't need you anymore, you're gone. That's why if you're not there for them when you're young, they're not going to be there for you when you're old. They're going to put you in an old home. Akhi, before I leave you, a man comes home from work. Son comes, knocks on the door. Dad, how much do they make an hour? Get away from me. He turns around, cries. Father realizes I made a mistake. He goes, son, forgive me. I made $10 an hour. Says, Dad, I saved $10. Can I have an hour of your time? You know, if you don't spend time with them, you will have to spend time with them, but not in a very pleasant place. Either in the hospital, rehab center, police station, or the morgue. Please spend time. So what I'm asking you to do, I'm asking you to have a date, a specific date for every child you have. I'm asking you to use the Maya theory, my time, your time, our time, family time. You book that in your calendar. You invest in the best thing that God Almighty has given you as a gift. You make sure you do that. Otherwise, wallahi, you will lose in this life and the hereafter. The choice is yours. Ukhti, a career woman, we're not asking you not to work. Enjoy, you be the best, whatever it is that you can. But make sure you don't lose the best job that you will ever do. I wish I had time to show you a video that I wanted to share with you. But maybe some other time. Do you know who you are, Ukhti? You are our mothers. You are our sisters. You are our daughters. You are our auntie. You are chacha. Chachi? Chachi? Something. One of those. You are everything to us. If we haven't respected you enough, Ukhti, please forgive us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored you in the seventh heaven. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised you three times higher than us. Isn't that sufficient for you? To be proud of who you are. Your mother is Khadija, Aisha, Fatima. You are the lineage of the best of the best. Don't be fooled. I'll talk about that in the second session, inshallah. What I mean, don't be fooled. You are the best of us, Ukhti. As a matter of fact, is this more? Sheikh, are they playing with? Are they messing? You're messing with my head now, man. I know how you feel now. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I'm confused. it's okay, Sheikh. No, due to budget cuts. Bonus. Okay, alhamdulillah. Only here at ISNA Canada, you witness this live, brothers and sisters. We are history in the making. They give you bonus time right here. Let me tell you why I'm saying this. Wallahi. It's enough that I'm not going to go into the issues because Sheikh Abdullah Adis will do the issues. But wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa. We live your pain. We suffer like you suffer. Sometimes we go home and cry. We go, how could a righteous brother that says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, does that to another sister? How could a sister that witnessed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only deity deserving to be worshipped? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is her uswa, his role model. And Islam, to submit, is the way of your life. How could you do that to another brother? Is it possible to do that? So from now on, I'm going to ask you to do a few things. From now on, I want you, brothers, go back and propose to the sister. You like that, don't you? But you come with a nice box of chocolate. What kind of chocolate do you sisters have? Ferrero Rocher or something? Ferrero Rocher or something. It's one of those. My wife likes that stuff, so that's the only one I know. You know when you make a mistake, brothers? I'm sorry. You go home like that? No? Just me again. Brother, mashallah, the brothers don't make a mistake whatsoever. Alhamdulillah. So self-righteous, the halo is, please duck as you go out the door. May Allah help you, inshallah. And of course, the flower and the poem, right? You do that. I want you today to go back to your wife with a beautiful something, ring. And I want you to go back and propose. I want you to start a new life. And I will ever, ever want you to never give up the dating your life. Never stop dating your wife. Because some of the brothers, some of us, you know when you get married, before you get married, what do you do, man? You're working out, you're pumped, you're looking good, the hair is done, you're doing your everything looks perfect. You shine the stuff, my man. As soon as they say, I do, what happened? Biryani bill comes up, you're sitting in your life, doesn't matter now, right? You go home, say, hi, honey, how are you? The sister starts to crying. Why? Because you say the words that affect her so much. That's your garlic and onion, dude. And you know, you raise your arm. How you doing? You know, as you raise your arm, the plants die. And the painting, you know, is peeling off the walls. May Allah help you, man. So at least, subhanAllah, look at the beauty of Islam. It teaches you to take a shower once a day, once a week. At least Friday, please take that. No, where do I get this from? Quran. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Again, we won't go into details. Okay, last one, inshallah. As you ask of them, you should do of them, inshallah. أختي. Remember, brother is physically based. You are emotionally based. When you come in home, what happens when the brother's coming home? You know, may Allah help you. You've been working, the kids, and these brain-damaged children. May Allah help you, wallahi. You know, you've been working hard. The husband now is supposed to sunnah. By the way, give her a heads up. Texting, it's halal, you sheikh. Texting on this one. You're good. Okay. Give her a heads up. It's a sunnah. All right. Now, all of a sudden, you got the onions and the garlic. You take a shower quickly and you drop your hair down. You know that one? Yeah, you know that one? And then you put that towel that looks like a typhoon. And then you quickly put, just before he comes home at night, you put that white cream on, right? And you put the cucumbers on. Or tea bags. And all of a sudden, your husband comes in at home and goes, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajeem. No, you got to make sure you look the best, ukhti. Not the outside, inside. We'll talk about that next one, inshallah. My time is up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your homes a home sweet home. Barakallahu feekum wa lakum. I thank you, my mom. Thanks to you, my doctor. Thanks to you. May Allah make you smile in this dunya and the hereafter. Jazakum al-khayn. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. They gave me 15 minutes and I have a lot of things to say, so I'm going to put them in point forms and I'm going to take you on a serious note. Three things come to us. Three. One, people are already married. In this case, there isn't much that we can do. All what I advise married people to do is that first sort out your relationship very carefully, especially in terms of wealth. And I have to bring this because I discovered that 99% of brothers and sisters here do not separate clearly what belongs to the wife and what belongs to the husband. Because in terms of inheritance, one can go before the other. So if the husband dies before, then the woman will inherit from him. If the woman dies before, the woman dies before, the husband will inherit from her. And this is why for the children. So I said this in our halakas and so on, but make that clearly. Even if you sit down, hypothetically do it, and it creates lots of problems. I mean, details I'll tell you, and this is not something that will affect our younger people. This is for the old people. The second group of people that come to us are people already decided on the marriage. We receive a phone call, and people want to have the nikah, or they want to have the ceremony. I think, Sheikh Ala, on record, you had one day seven weddings, right? Like one day, seven people lined up. All of them want to get married. Now, we have a large community, especially around Isna here. Daily, we get phone calls, and we feel bad because sometimes people want to go to Apollo, and then you have a wedding here. You can't run in between. So when you apologize to them, they say, all these are our children. They were brought in Isna. They want to get married in Isna and so on. So please, ahead of time, let us know when your children are getting married and make sure that you face it. There are three things we do in the center here. One is to book the imam, Sheikh Ala or myself, to do it. Two is to book the place because we need to know where you are going. And the third is the time. Now, that's number one. Number two, there is this issue of the duality of the marriage. We have the Islamic nikah and we have the legal issue of it. Now, Sheikh Ala is here, we always run into this problem. We are not as marriage officers because we are licensed by the government of Ontario to conduct weddings according to Islam. No questions. But if you come to us and say you want us to do a nikah without papers, we'll be in trouble. because you're not supposed to do it. We say this is considered what is called common law. Anyone can do it, but not the registered imams in the mosque. I think that's one of the things that we have problems with it as well. Now, but the process, many people ask what to do. This is for people who already, like you already decided who's going to marry you or who's going to marry your daughter and so on. That's done. All what we advise you to do is one, to go to the city hall, pick up a marriage license, call us after that, try to arrange the time and the thing that you need here in the center for us, and then we'll do or take the process from there on. We are licensed to do both, like when we sign the bill. And I know some parents, and I'm going to give you, if you want, hundreds of cases that are very painful. Actually, this week somebody called me that he wants to get the nikah for his daughter. He doesn't want to have the bill because the man is not here. Now, I said, why do you want to do it? Because he said he wants to send her overseas. I said, if you want to send her overseas, there are two ways of doing it. Get a tawkil from the person from there, like a power of attorney, bring it here, get him married here, but that's going to be another problem because there is legality involved in it. So be careful about these things and make sure you sort all these things out with the people that you have. Now, this is for people who already determined to get married, they want to come us. Now, most of what I'm going to say are for people, especially younger people, and parents who want to get their children married, they are not yet decided to marry on them. There are a number of things here that I wanted to say. Number one, that don't think your children are you. I come from the Sudan. I don't think my children are Sudanese. I'm telling you this. Not Sudanese in the sense that the way I brought up, the way I think, the way I do this, they are not. And you can bring them and they'll tell you this openly. Now, and we are lucky, alhamdulillah, that we develop what we call a third culture, which is the Islamic culture. So the principles that govern our relationship with our children should be Islam. And we have painful stories of children turning these, what we call the most joyous moments in their life, into miserable situations because the parents refuse to accept their wedding, the girls or the boys run against their parents and all of that. All of this should be reconciled very carefully. And if your daughter or your son comes to you and tells you, I'm interested in getting married to somebody, first, don't reject it right out. Don't actually write from the beginning, say, who? And we have all these questions, and people are turned, and becomes a friction between people. Ask them gently, see what they think, what you are trying to do. Try to reconcile it with other people. See who can talk to them best, and so on. Because this is one of the areas that we have lots of problems, and this is why, intentionally, I related this to when I'm coming to speak to divorce. I'm telling you, most of the cases of divorce actually started with the marriage. Because if anything goes wrong in the marriage, then you carry it with you. Because even marrying a person is a risk. The risk, what we call a calculated risk. You don't know the person. And yesterday, Dr. Altaf Hussain spent a lot of time saying to you that this word, ta'aruf, li-ta'arufu, if for a person to understand and know who his wife is, sometimes it takes a long time. It's not just when you see people, you talk to them, you went to university with them. Marriage is a whole different game because it's a different relationship altogether. And this is why we advise people to take a lot of time to understand each other. Now, among the things that I always mention to people, before you get married, think not only once, not twice, not thrice, but 10 times of who you want to get married to. And I'm talking of both genders. Yani if you are a girl, you want to marry a man, a boy, make sure that you understand the person, try to know him. And in Islam, there are two processes. One is the khitbah. And this is mentioned in the Quran. And the khitbah is when a person makes a proposal. I'm going to tell you the rules of it, and it helps you to understand. Khitbah means a person will propose to another person or family, propose to another family, and they take time. This time, this period of time, this is not marriage. And they are governed by all the rules in Islam that govern the gender, like a man and a woman. And in this period, you have to ask all the questions you want. You can, like, investigate everything you want to do. Ask all the detailed questions. Because most of the time, people come after the marriage and say, I didn't ask this. I didn't know that. So at this time, you can ask anything. Now, the most important part of this is this. That, again, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to repeat it. I always say that when we get people married. It is women who marry men. Sister, do you understand what I'm saying? It is women who marry men. What I mean by that is that when a woman wants to get married, the ijab, which is the offer to the marriage, comes from the girl. And it comes out of her absolute free will. I always repeat these words. Without being forced, pressured, all of this literature of forced marriages and arranged marriages, it has no place in Islam. And this is why a woman, when you think of marriage, you think that you are going to choose a person, that you are going to choose him in Islamic terminology to be your emir, which means your head of your household. And this choice should happen freely. Yes, the parents can help you, we can help you, friends can help you, relatives can help you, all of that. But the last decision is yours. And no one can force a girl to marry against her will. The Prophet ﷺ made it very clear that you cannot force a girl against her will to marry a person. By the way, Islamically and legally, it is against the law. I can't marry a girl if, and it happened, by the way. It happened in one instance. It was very painful that this girl started crying. She said, I'm being forced into this. I don't want to marry this person. And it was a drama. So reconcile all these issues before you get married. Now, when the woman makes the ijab, which is the offer to the marriage, and we said this many times, she can make it directly by herself, or she can delegate her father or her uncle or her elder, somebody to do it on her behalf, but this person will act as if he's her lawyer. And then when she makes that ijab, the man has to accept. Now I'm turning to the boys. When you accept to marry a girl, you accept by the following, by word of mouth, by your intentions, because this is a relationship that's governed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by your willingness to look after her financially. Back to the sisters. Women have no obligation financially towards men, period. And this is why Allah said in the Quran, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. This is why Allah turns to the girl and says, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَافِظَ اللَّهُ. What does this mean? That men are fully in charge of women. They take responsibility of that. And then pious women will accept this relationship when they do it. And this has to be understood right from the beginning. The bottom line of the word I say, if you don't feel this is the husband, that you want to put him in as to be your head of your household, to have him as your emir, don't marry him. Look for somebody else. Because that's where the basis of the marriage is. And طبعاً on the other side that we have. The last thing, because I'm running out of time, they gave me a very short time, by the way, to speak. And this is the question of the families. Now, parents, when your children get married, stay off their lives. Let them try their own. Let them try their life. Let them make their mistakes. Because 90% of marriages break because of the family involvement. Because the mother wants to have her son to be him, not her. She wants him to dictate anything. She wants to do anything for them. And sometimes children like that space of their own. Yesterday, I think Dr. Altaf mentioned it. I know a girl whose father is a multimillionaire. Multimillionaire. She told me, I don't feel comfortable living in the household of my father. I want to live in an apartment. You know those apartments where when somebody runs on the top floor, you hear him down. She wants to live that way, and I told her father, let her take her time, and alhamdulillah, she feels very happy, and so on. So these are the things that I just want to bring to you right from the beginning before you think of getting married. The rest, we are there. And the last thing that I want to say is before you get into anything, please consult with us. Don't come to us after a problem. Come to us before that because we'll make you avoid the problems. And to avoid problems in marriages is much more better than falling into problems, inshallah. Now, I don't have much to say because I see I have just a couple of minutes left. But I said this to you because I want you to understand that marriage is one of the things that there is a lot of risk of it. I mean, you marry a person you don't know. Families is especially here. And one of the problems that we have here, because people marry from different families and so on, the one thing that I want you to keep in mind, don't refuse a young man because he's not very rich. Because this is the command of Allah. He said, وَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ إِمَائِكُمْ نَعَمْ إِيَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ. Literally, if you underline this, what Allah says, if they are poor, إِيَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. That even if they are poor, Allah will enrich them. So don't make this the criteria for it. Every one of us started poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens door for people to be it. Because everybody has the potential to be good. And if they are poor, Allah will enrich them. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, everyone comes with his rizq. The wife comes with her risk, with provision. A child comes and don't even stop having children, because every single child, you don't provide them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide them. Allah provide you and them. And Allah says in another verse, Allah provide you and them, and provide them and you, which means with you or without you, their provision is there. So one of the things that, and I have actually right now, I'm standing in front of you, in my mind, 2-3 people who are complaining that they are rejected simply because they don't fit that criteria of being among the rich people. Let the people try it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. And please pray for your children when you want to get them married, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the pious people, make them happy, and make it easier for you and them. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.